Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Let's read together if you would. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me right for his name's sake. Yea, I will fear for you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Father, we give you the next few moments, and we ask you, would you move by your Spirit? Would you teach us? Would you show us how applicable this is to where we are? And would you just minister from wherever every person is? Would you minister and bring us closer to you? Open our eyes, help us see. Lord, we totally rely on you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Everybody knows this passage. I mean, it really is so common. People who are not even Christ followers can tell you about Psalm 23. Some of the old church fathers, like Augustine, they called it the martyr's hymn, because so many martyrs would go to their torture and ultimately go to give their life. And as they were going, they would quote Psalm 23. Abraham Lincoln often referred to the psalm as just his source of strength in the days where, as many of you know, he suffered depression. And during the middle of the Civil War, he would find himself going to Psalm 23. George W. Bush, guess where he went after 9/11 to try to comfort a nation? He went to Psalm 23. And yet the scripture is 3,000 years old. And it's still ministering. It still has life ministering to millions and millions of people. I've often read this psalm at many occasions and at many funerals even. And it does has a great ministry component when it comes to death and facing it. As a matter of fact, in 2012, when we had the funeral for my dad, Psalm 23 is where we went and what I read for his funeral. But it has a lot more to do with life than it does death. I mean, David wrote this psalm. We don't know when David wrote it. It doesn't give us any indication. And as I let my mind just wander, I wonder if it was as a child when he was on the hills in Galilee. In Bethlehem, that's where he was, and his dad was a shepherd, and David was a shepherd. And if you remember, when they came to anoint the next king after Saul, they asked him to bring Jesse to bring his sons out, and he brought all of them out except David. Where was David? Watching the sheep. And then he looked at him and he said, none of these are going to be the next king. Is there anybody else? And they said, they've got one son, but I kind of disqualified him. And the prophet said, bring him. And sure enough, when it brought David from watching the sheep as a shepherd, he recognized him and anointed him for the next king. Was it while he was on those hills as a child, did he begin to understand this concept? Because, you see, the Old Testament, God was revealing himself in the Old Testament. And so when you start in the book of Genesis and you start with Abraham and move to Isaac, they were learning this one God, because all the other folks around them had many, many gods. But this one God concept, with his name was Yahweh. And Abraham began to know him, and we see as God revealed himself, the names of God would come along and reveal more of God. God the provider, God the sustainer. And their names would reflect it as time went on in the Old Testament. It was like you would have a diamond, and as you read through the Old Testament, you would turn it, and you would get different facets of who God was, what his nature was, and you would know him better. So when it comes to Psalm 23, David is getting some insight that I don't think anybody had the depth of understanding of what David was seeing. He started seeing God as a shepherd. Was it when he was on the hillside? Or do you think when he went to fight Goliath, that he was standing there and he heard Goliath as he was just berating Israel and the God of Israel. And he stood there and remembered, you know, I remember when a bear came after my sheep. And the Bible says he killed him. And David may have looked at Goliath and said, I remember when a lion came after my sheep and I killed him with my bare hands. And I'm their shepherd. And now we got somebody coming after Israel. And you're our shepherd. So I think I'll take him on. Was it at that point that he began to understand this? We don't know. But at some point, the revelation and understanding transferred in David's heart of God being a shepherd. I mean, when he talks, it's so personal. There's no we's or us or they's in this. It's me, my, I, he, you. It's all very personal. And I think how it relays that personal touch is why it ministers so much to people. Because I think as you hear David talk about, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I walk through a valley. He leads me. I want to be in the house. I think it strikes a chord for the longing that's in every person's heart. And I think even if it's subconscious, every single one of us, when you read Psalm 23, says, I want that. I want a relationship with God like that. I want it to be so personal like that, that you lead me and guide me, you protect me, you fix a table. I want that because I think every human heart's wired for that. And I think God opened this revelation for David so that he could write Psalm 23 so that you and I would have this privilege of understanding what's available to us, even more so now in the New Testament than even in the Old. He starts out verse 1 when he starts, the Lord is my shepherd. Then he goes on, he says, look at the me and the my. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. Then all of a sudden we get to verse 4 and 5, David changes now. Now he changes to more personal, and it's you. He says, I will not fear, for you who you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. Y'all notice a switch? But isn't there always a switch? Isn't there always a switch from talking about God and saying, you are my shepherd? This is true about you. And then all of a sudden, when you're in the valley, now it's not about God. Now it's, oh, baby, now help me. Now it becomes real personal. You are my. Which, by the way, is a good learning point. Is it's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to know him. It's one thing to know scripture. Then it's another thing to know God. It's one thing to know Psalm 23. It's a whole other thing with David to know him. And then verse 6, he goes back to the third person. I will now dwell in the house of the Lord. Lloyd Douglas is the author of The Robe, and he wrote a number of other books too. He attended college and he lived in a boarding house. A retired wheelchair-bound music professor resided on the first floor. Every morning, Douglas would stick his head out of the door of the teacher's apartment and he would ask the same question. He would say, well, what's the good news for today? And the old man would pick up his tuning fork, tap it on the side of his wheelchair, and would say, that's middle C. It's middle C yesterday, it'll be middle C tomorrow, it'll be middle C 1,000 years from today. The tenor upstairs sings flat, the piano across the hall is out of tune, but my friend, that's middle C and always will be. You know, the truth of the matter is, David realized, and we need to realize, that we need a middle C too. Have you noticed that things are changing around you? Have you noticed that you're changing? You don't? I would tell you to look to the person next to you and tell them to get older, but I'm not doing that. But the whole world is changing, friends. Nothing stays the same. Relationships change, health changes, weather changes, people move, job changes, weather changes. How many of you enjoy the weather? Well, hang around. David was saying this God, who he would call him by his name in the Old Testament, one of his names in the Old Testament, Yahweh. And he would say, Yahweh, you're my shepherd. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the middle sea. There's something the sheep can depend on is me as a shepherd. And I'm their constant, and you're my constant. It's the same plan, same mood, same love. It never changes always. The world can change. The world can tip upside down. But we all need something that doesn't change. And the last thing we need is our dependence on something that does change. I mean, how many of you remember the Wizard of Oz? Oh, yeah. Right? You remember she was searching for the great wizard and come to find out the curtains go back and who's back there? Just a man. Bad wizard. The last thing we need is depend on something that one day can't deliver for us. We need a God who can put 100 billion stars in a galaxy and 100 billion galaxies in a universe. That's what we need. We need a God who can take two hands and shape flesh, shape actually dirt into something that's 75 to 100 billion nerve cells, each that has 10,000 more connections, wrap all that up, place it in a skull, and call it a brain. You need a God who can heal a broken heart. You need a God who understands the intricacy of what you're going through. You need a God that when you have broken dreams and there's no way possible to put them back together, there's no way humanly possible. You need a God who can put dreams back together. You ever heard the saying that you can't do anything with spilt milk? You can. Because this God that David is talking about can. He's a God who can do the impossible. I ran across this poem that says, you're a great God. Your character is holy. Your truth is absolute. Your strength is unending. Your discipline is fair. Your provisions are abundant for our needs. Your light is adequate for our path. Your grace is sufficient for our sins. You never are early and you're never. You sent your son in the fullness of time and he'll return in the consummation of time. Your plan is perfect, bewildering at some point. Can anybody say amen? Puzzling at some point, yes? Troubling at some point, yes, but perfect. That's him. The Lord, would you say it with me? The Lord is my. The Lord is my shepherd. And then he adds this little phrase, and I shall not want. I just wondered what was bubbling up inside of David when this came to him as a shepherd. You are my shepherd, and I shall not want. All the things he had done for his sheep, all the things that he knew how to respond, what they needed, and he would take care of them. He knew all of that, and now he transferred that to God. It's not that all you want translates into your discontentment now being expressed and God becomes a puppet and gives you everything you're discontented about. That's not what it's saying at all. Well, I'm looking next door and people got more than I've gotten, so give me a little more. I need more. Well, this the Lord gives you what you want. It has to do with understanding God, understanding the God who understands us. Because like sheep, he knows what we truly want or need. And he now in Timothy, it says that godliness with contentment is great gain. That's part of what he wants us to have. I mean, if all you got to do is go down a verse or two to help understand this, you interpret scripture by scripture. So if you want to understand it, go down a few verses where it says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of what? Now, who's leading the sheep at this point? Is the shepherd leading them? Yes. He's leading them because probably where there had been feeding dried up, there's no more grazing grass up there. So he's taking them to another place where the sun is not as hot, and they have some water possibly down at the bottom. And so he knows what's best for them, and he's leading them to this place, and they're going, bah, bah. Discontentment is in our world a huge thing. But friend, those of us who walk with him as our true shepherd, now listen, he leads us to places that are best for us and withholds no good thing from us. But it doesn't mean that he just carte blanche gives us the desires, because we're going down the mountain. And by the way, sheep hate to go downhill. You know, they just hate to go downhill anyway. They hate shadows. They're just real. I mean, they pieces of paper cause them to go nuts. Blowing across the road will cause them to go nuts. I mean, just really get a... Just reminds me that we are sheep. Over 200 times in Scripture, it says that we are sheep. And sometimes it's easy to just let our minds go and get afraid. The shadows. And yet the Lord, the first part, the Lord is my shepherd. And he leads me in paths of righteousness. And you can interpret that as paths that are right. So let me ask you a question. Going down the mountain, which you don't want to go, going into the shadow, which you don't want to go, is that a right path when your shepherd leads you there? Yes or no? Yes. So if you interpret this correctly, understanding this, the shepherd concept, then what you understand is that he is not going to hold back anything that the shepherd thinks is good for you. Just like David, I'll give my sheep whatever they really need. So, no good thing. Look at Psalms 84:11 with me. No good does the Lord withhold from those who walk. Why? Does he hold it back? Yes or no? No. So it's not, it's that he just knows. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He just knows. Now, let's go to the next one. Here's this. That he leads them. He makes them to lie down in green pastures, and he leads them beside still water. Would you look at two words with me real close? He makes me, and then he leads me. Anybody, has the Lord ever made you do something? Yes. Some of you, what you're feeling now is the push. And the shepherd is saying, do. You know what intrigued me about this? And I don't know why I got intrigued with it. I just got intrigued with it. Is that when he says, he makes me, it has to do with lying down. It has to do with slowing up. It has to do with changing your pace. It has to do with relaxing. It has to do with stopping. Hearing, listening. Wonder why he has to make us do that. Because, friend, you can't eat a whole lot and be in a good pasture when you're moving really, really fast. You know what I think the greatest enemy to the connection of the sheep and the shepherd is? The speed at which we're going through life. Because, friend, it takes time. If I could speak to every married couple here, I would say, every married couple, the biggest mistake we make is you don't spend time quality time. You don't sit across the table, eyeball to eyeball, and engage and get down to the soul. Get down to how you're feeling. Get down to what's going on. You don't process it down deeply. One day goes into another day and another day, and next thing you know, it's a month. The next thing you know, a year is into another year, and habits are established, and you start to shallow out in relationship. And when is the last time you had deep, deep connecting kind of time together where you slowed down enough until you got past all that's going on in your life around you and you actually zeroed in and connected with your soulmate? Well, friends, that is the same thing that happens with God. And the biggest threat, I think, is shallowing out and the speed of life, which now is moving so fast, until he's trying to make you slow down. Because I've prepared a pasture for you, and I want you to feed and eat, but it takes time. It just struck me as interesting. I know it don't mean anything to you, but we can move on. Now, these green pastures, just a quick note as we move through his thing. These green pastures, Jesus got back from Israel, and I can tell you there's not a lot of green stuff there except what is irrigated. And so when he's talking about around Bethlehem, what the green pastures were, I can promise you it didn't just happen. It happened because the shepherd had gone out ahead of time. And again, one of the problems with this kind of thing is that none of us, how many of you ever met a shepherd? How many of you ever seen a shepherd? So we're talking about something none of us ever seen or know. How many? When was the last time you've been to a job fair and they had a position for a shepherd open? So we're talking about something that we don't even know about, and that's why we got to get acquainted with. But what we also don't know is, how many of you ever cleared any land here? Huh? A few of you have. But in Israel, it is just rocks everywhere. And so if you clear any land, you pile up the rocks, you make all these walls, and then you have to try to plow up the ground, and it takes a lot of work. But if there's a green place, probably the shepherd has gone and already done that work and made it all available, removed the rocks and the stones, which reminds me of another shepherd, the good shepherd in the New Testament, that went ahead, cleared a field with his blood, cleared the rocks and got rid of all condemnation, so that now his sheep could come in and pasture. We don't deserve it. The sheep didn't deserve it. They just came in. But Jesus would like to say to all of us, as a good shepherd, it does his heart so good for the sheep to come and to take advantage of what he has done ahead of time for them. There was an actor one time who came to a party, and he was really famous, Everybody at the party was so excited that he was there. And so he was famous for doing these lines and stepping in and being a character and then reciting lines from what was common that day and what was popular. And he would stand, and he was just a great orator, and he would just go. And so he was doing that, and there happened to be a minister at that particular meeting. And so the minister asked him one point. He said, "Oh, would you mind reciting Psalms 23? And the actor says, "Sure, under one condition, that when I finish, that you recite it." And the minister said, "Sure, that'd be fine." So sure enough, the actor stepped up, and in what just a fashion you would imagine, very eloquent, very good, very professional, went right through Psalm 23. Fluctuated his voice, tone was perfect, everything about it was perfect. He finished, everybody stood up and began to applaud. The applause went on for moments and moments. Then everything quieted down, and now the minister, who was a good bit older, moved a good bit slower. His voice wasn't as clear, it was more raspy. And he steps up, and he starts very slowly, very deliberately, walking through Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. Surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sat down, and there's not a dry eye in the place. Everybody gets their composure back together. The meal is served, and they have a meal. After the meal, somebody came up to the actor and said, "What's the difference? You were marvelous. You were incredible. It was perfection. But I don't understand that when he did it, everybody would brought the tears." And the actor was wise and smart enough to say this. He said, oh yeah, I know Psalms 23. But he knows the shepherd. And friends, there's a whole different world of knowing Psalm 23 and knowing the shepherd. Do you know him? Do you know him? I mean, is he leading you? Is he guiding you? Is this relational dynamic going on that he wants and died for? That David is trying to show us, even from the Old Testament, what is available. A shepherd. I want to be the shepherd for your soul. Now, some of you may have just kind of, sheep. I'm not saying this about you. This is an us thing, okay? Sheep are pretty dumb. I mean, really, they just, of all the domestic animals, they're the simplest. They'll go over a hill and they can't find their way back. I mean, you know how you can take a cat and put it somewhere like and way off, and they'll come back home? I mean, they'll find their way back. I mean, I've carried a bunch of them over to Somerville, and they come all the way back home. I'm just kidding. I have never taken an animal off, but they'll come back. Yeah. A sheep, take him around the back of your house. He'll never find the front again. I'm serious. I mean, they just like that. A shepherd, that's the reason that this is such a good analogy. Because a shepherd, without the shepherd, he would die. I mean, there's a true story. Several shepherds got together and they ended up having several thousand sheep. And so they put them all together and they're going to have breakfast together. Well, their mind got off of the herd, and one bright sheep decided it's going to do something. It wants to go another direction. So it goes, it just takes off and goes right off a cliff. Right. Fell to his death. And 400 other ones said, "I like where he's going." Went right behind them, and 400 sheep went over the cliff. God reminded me so much of us, didn't it? I can't tell you how many people I followed, other people. I said, wait, you're going off a cliff. As a matter of fact, they added it up, and it would cost those shepherds $74,000. I'm serious. It's a real story. I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. Just serious. I'm serious. So, some of you may have just walked over the hill. Some of you may just can't find your way back. Some of you may have been away for a while, and this service is calling you back. And folks, things can happen right in your seat. It doesn't have to be any, big spectacular thing. This can be a heart decision right inside. So I want to just take a moment and just pray with you, okay? Got to do that before we close. Father, now, we all are sheep here, and we all know what it's like to walk away from you. We know what it's like to have distance created between us and you and us go ahead and do life and kind of have you on the side. It's easy to go through all the motions and just kind of let the relationship skate a little bit. But we ask today that you refreshing our hearts. We ask today that you would come in this service and just get your hands around people's hearts that may be going through some of the things that we even saw in the video, and that you'd begin to disperse fear and anxiety, and you'd minister hope and life and the truth that you're a shepherd. And that if we would yield to you, that there would be a feeding and a refreshing of us and a drinking from the waters that you provide that would so sustain us. We don't want to be out there by ourselves. We don't want to do life without you. We want you to be the center of our life. And so we invite you right now, Holy Spirit. We repent of things we've done or mainly just keeping a distance with you. And this day, we invite you into our hearts afresh and new, into a place in our hearts that we start living with a consciousness of you, that we start saying, the Lord is my shepherd. You're mine. And I'm going to wake up in the morning with you on my mind. And I'm going to let you lead me and guide me and establish a new sense of relationship with you. Would every person here who would like to, would you just say with me, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen and amen. Now, I'm going to ask you if you would, because we moved everything to the end of service. We're going to wrap up in just 2 or 3 minutes. We need to receive offerings. So please don't leave if you don't mind, and just stay. And we're going to make a few announcements. And so the folks are coming. And I'll finish this up, matter of fact, next week. Obviously, I couldn't get through it. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. Are you excited? Yes, I'm excited about it. The Lord is my, say with me, my what? And I shall not want. All right, very good. The guest service folks are coming. I'm going to ask Megan Turner if she would come up here. And we got a few announcements we're going to make and receive the offering. Thank you for your faithfulness. Summertime started now, and so it's always important in your summertime. People travel. So, but don't forget about what God says, how he wants to bless you in your giving. And so the Lord bless you as you give. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Megan, we got a lot of stuff going on
this summer. One is small groups start this week. So if you're interested in a small group over the summer, make sure you're a part of that. It's a great way to stay connected over the summer and have a lot of fun. So they start this week.
And if I want to start one?
If you want to start one, start one.
Okay, start one, okay.
Start one, yeah. You can contact us online if you're interested in that.
Somebody told me they want to start one on golf frisbee.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect.
I'm not doing that.
You're not. The next is we've got Vacation Bible School coming up. And last year we had 212 kids give their heart to the Lord. So it's a huge thing here at Cathedral. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And but in order to make that happen, we need you guys' help. So if you are interested in volunteering, if you never have before, you don't know how to, we'll show you what to do. But the meeting for that is right after this service, right after 11 o'clock service, right in here. Yep, if you want to hear about it and what we need and how to help, please hang around. Won't be long, but we need at least 60 of you guys to do that, to help for that specific week. The other thing is, my husband and I have the privilege of working in Fuel. We're going on a retreat, and it is just a time to take these teenagers and just ignite them on fire for the Lord.
And the Fuel is the teen ministry.
Fuel is our youth ministry. It is. And so we're taking these teens to the Great Wolf Lodge. So this price that you see covers the bus, covers the hotel, covers the food. Whole band rental, like stage rental. We have to rent sound system and lights and all that to make this happen there. But we're really believing that God's going to do huge things. And we have a really neat group of teens, and this is where I need your help. They are all wanting to go, and they're all believing that they can go, and they're working really hard. But a lot of them are just struggling financially. And so what we have said to them is, you sign up, put your $50 deposit, and then we're just going to believe God to show up for the rest, and they're working hard. They're making payments. But if anybody in here could help sponsor a kid or could give $20, I actually, after service, last service, I had this one girl come up, sweet girl, she's a senior, she's working, putting herself through, or going to put herself through college, working at Chick-fil-A, and so she's gotten just enough money, she said, I've got $130. At the same time, somebody walked up and handed me $60 and said, this is all I've got, but I wanted to go towards somebody. So I looked at her and I said, well, all your hard work, You're going to refuel. So $20, $25, just, and it's fun and fuel because everybody has this feeling of they all want each other to go. They're all believing. Kevin, y'all enjoy Kevin, the young guy that sings. Y'all know Kevin's 16. Yeah. So Kevin was just believing with his whole heart that he was going to be able to go. So he saved and saved and saved, got the money to go. And then Kevin came up to me Wednesday night. He said, I'm so excited about what God's doing. I want to sponsor another teen to go.
Oh, wow.
So even they are paying for it. We've had a few teens sponsor each other. So even they're believing for each other. So
yeah. And what y'all need to know is we just don't give out money. And so these guys are working. And so they are, have jobs or side jobs or getting creative about what they're doing and working. And then we're trying to supplement what's going on, what they can't do. So that's what this all is.
We've got like one mom that's got four teenagers trying to get, single mom. We've got one lady that's got three foster teenagers, and she really wants them to get to experience it. So my husband and I and Chris, we're all in the Fuel black shirts right out here in the hub. So any amount of money, $20, if we could take a card, $20 if you want to sponsor a whole kid. Nothing is too small to help.
Okay. So. But what I've done, I've waited this moment to do it because I'm going to sponsor somebody. And so I want to know if anybody else would want to sponsor somebody, all right? I got my hand up. Anybody else? Let me see if you want to sponsor somebody. All right, right here. One, two, three. All right, anybody
right
else?
Here. Four, five, six.
Seven, eight. Okay.
It's two people.
Nine, right here, right here at the back. Nine.
Yeah.
All right, right over here, ten. All right, do I hear it, ten? Go on, do I hear it? No, I'd say how to do that somehow. Anyway. Anyway, I'm just great. Thank you. And then, again, if you can't sponsor somebody, just stop out in any amount.
$50, $20 will help. Any amount
will help. Stop outside with your hand.
If you raised your hand, that was you. Just meet me right out there in the foyer.
Now, y'all getting ready to have all this to come to an end, so we need to end by.
Yeah, Wednesday is when it ends. We've got to pay the hotel for the rooms and all that. So it's.
But if some reason you say, to communicate with Luke and Meg, if some reason you say, I would like to sponsor somebody, but I can't do it all at one time. Just let them know, and we'll figure all that out to make sure we're trying to get as many teams there as we can.
Yep.
All right.
Then it'll be fun because after the trip, we're going to let all the teens come and do a service and tell you guys all about the stories and what God did there. And so we'll definitely bring it all back to you guys. So.
And let me say also, stand with me, and I'll say this as you're standing.
I'll meet y'all out there, Daddy. I'm going to go out there.
What Dean and I have always done in situations like this is we always consider it sowing seed. Now, our heart's open, and we want to just give because, you know, we love teens and we love them. But I'm sowing seed for my kids so they'll straighten up. I'm sowing seed for my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren because whatever a man or woman sows, that shall he what? Also reap. And I believe down the road in many different situations that my granddaughters and granddaughters and granddaughters will need something. Somebody will come forward and do something because of seed that I've sown that wouldn't even end their lifetime. Because I think that is a true, true scripture. So, Dean, I've always done that. Lord, bless you. Lord, keep you. Lord, cause his face to shine upon you. And can I just bless you with what I feel so strongly the Lord is trying to communicate, that a shepherd knew every sheep's name. He knew every peculiar thing about them. He knew how their eyes were. He knew how their fur were. He knew if their feet were shaped a certain way. He knew everything about those sheep, and he groomed them. The Lord, your shepherd, knows everything about you. He knows the deepest thing in your heart right now. He's your shepherd. And what he wants to do until you and I dwell in his house forever, he wants on this side to be your good shepherd and to minister to you. He paid a great price for that, and nothing would make him any happier than for the sheep to take advantage of what he's provided. Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. See you guys. Lord bless you. Have a great week.